Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Even though you make payroll every Friday, you don't have a guaranteed paycheck. You're the owner, and you eat what you kill.
We are back. It's 13 after.
Thank you for joining us. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my phone number is 888-822-8255, 1-888-822-8255. Let me tell you who our guest is this hour. Her name is Sarah Calvert. She is the resident small business attorney of this show. She is the principal in Calvert Associates PC, which is a law firm she started in 1991 in Virginia, and she's been with us many times before. We've talked about quite a few different things, and today we're continuing our series talking about employees, how to find them, how to keep them, and how to get rid of them when you need to, and how to keep them and make sure that you have a good relationship with them. Sarah, welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Good morning.
It's good to have you back with us. Fairfax, Virginia, right?
That's right.
And we, as I said, we've been talking about several of the different issues involving employees, and you know, people ask me sometimes, what's the biggest frustration or the biggest management, the thing I should say is, what is the biggest management problem or most intense and time-consuming management issue that business owners face? And I say, well, for the most part, I'd have to say dealing with employees is.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Would you agree with that?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. You know, out of the calls I get after people are already up and started in their business, I would say fully 60% of them are employee issues.
And folks, it's not all bad stuff.
No,
I'm not saying
no.
It's all bad stuff.
No, it's not.
It's just, it's finding people.
Finding people is huge these days.
It's a crisis in America.
Yeah, it is a big crisis. There's
it's not
enough
just a
educated
problem.
People.
It's a crisis. And to find them, to train them, to keep them happy, to make sure that they have the kind of pay and benefits that they need to be successful themselves, and so that they're happy. Happy individuals themselves, because happy employees make better employees, obviously. And,
right.
And then, of course, you have the problems. You have people who are not dealing in good faith, employees who don't do their job, or employees who are trying to create problems for you. They, some of them, I talked to a guy yesterday. He said it seems like the last few employees he's hired came to him with the intent of trying to, you know, sue him or get some kind of disability or something.
Yeah, I've heard that repeatedly in the last couple of years, especially as the market has tightened and we're taking more of the bottom of the market than we have in previous years.
Right.
We have a really good economy. People are well educated. They're not willing to take a lot of the entry level positions,
mm-hmm.
and people are very smart. So what we're finding is that you have to protect yourself from your employees, as well as trying to keep them happy. So it's kind of a dichotomy.
It sort of reminds me of when I traveled in the Middle East. The people who did a lot of the regular type of jobs, just the manual labor type jobs, mm-hmm. were expatriates.
Well, that's right, and that's what you see in Europe, is that, you know, the Germans have the Portuguese and other people from other countries.
Yeah.
The Germans themselves don't sweep streets or do entry-level jobs.
Mm-hmm.
They have the higher-paying jobs.
Well, who do the Portuguese have?
Well, I'm not sure.
Because I know some people in Portugal.
Yeah. I think it was
seriously,
Portuguese.
If you go to...
And some of the more poor Greeks. Yeah.
If you go to the Middle East,
mm-hmm.
the Arabs have the Filipinos,
mm-hmm.
And they have, you know, other folks like that, and what's funny is in I was in Kuwait, and the people who ran the hotel were Egyptians.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And a Kuwaiti would never work behind the desk of a hotel, but they would hire an Egyptian to do it.
And
I've never been to Egypt, but I suppose it might be the other way around over there. But that's happening here in the United States.
Well, it's funny. I always say my client, I daren't send out a holiday message in the wintertime
right.
because my client base is so diverse. We have a tremendous influx of recent immigrants, U.S. citizens and all, that open their businesses and run them with people from their country that they brought over.
Yeah, and thank goodness that we have people.
Oh, goodness.
Like that,
oh, yes.
Because
we would have no
those jobs business. Have to be done.
That's right.
It's opportunity for those individuals.
Yep.
And anyway, so we're building the case here, folks, for what we're about to talk about, and that's the employee agreements.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, you know, now let's work our way back up the employee hierarchy, so to speak. And when would you want to have an employee agreement?
Well, there are two schools of thought on this. One is that every employee who has any access to anybody in your business, who is not just sitting in a corner selling pieces of material or something, should be under an employment agreement.
If they're making any business decisions
for
you?
Well, or if they're meeting clients at all.
Yeah.
That's a big issue, is whether or not they are developing an independent relationship with your client.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a definite yes when you've got, for example, a lot of my government contractors around here have no office. They send all of their staff over to other people's offices.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the people that are seen by the client, your employees, more than you.
They basically show up for work every day at the other office.
Using programming all kinds of fairly independent work. But the person that the client interacts with is your employee and not necessarily you on a day-to-day basis. And that's where I see tremendous problems that an agreement would help.
So if you've got a distribution company,
yes,
maybe your truck driver doesn't need to have an employee agreement. Maybe your warehouseman doesn't need an employee agreement. Maybe your warehouse manager does.
And maybe your salespeople do too.
But your salespeople,
they develop tremendous relationships as well.
Your executives.
Executives.
What about customer service people?
Customer service people, to a certain extent, it's not customers that are going to hire them away as much if you've got a low dollar repeat business.
Yeah.
But if you've got a high dollar build a relationship kind of business, and a customer service person spends a lot of time with one customer, then the answer would probably be yes. It'd be worth your while to take a look at some of these agreements.
Mm-hmm.
What we're talking about is the phone calls I get, and these are some horrible phone calls. My biggest client was just taken by my best employee. You know, there's nothing you can do to stop that in most of the states of the nation. And the reason is because the basis of our nation was built upon free enterprise and capitalism, which includes employees taking the knowledge they have and opening their own business. Nobody's going to stop them from opening their own business. But what we're trying to stop is, number one, if you have an agreement, and number two, if you've got confidential information.
Stand by, Sarah. When we come back, folks, we're going to talk about, the first thing we're going to talk about is, what does an employee agreement provide for you, either with the employer or the employee? Either one of those, both of them, actually. 888-822-8255. If you'd like to join us, ask a question, make a comment. We'll be right back. It's not too much to ask, is it, Sarah?
Nope.
A little bit of respect. That's all we want. Employers, employees. Just a little respect. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Welcome back. It's 24 after the hour. I'm glad you're here. Sarah Calvert is here. Sarah, I'm glad you're here, too.
Thank you.
Otherwise, this wouldn't be nearly as much fun.
You could talk to yourself, but it'd be kind of weird.
My employees, my audience knows I've done that, but they know it's not nearly as much fun as when I have a guest.
I have one more person that needs to be careful about, that needs to look at agreements.
Yeah.
And that is somebody who knows your trade secrets.
Yeah.
These days, the e-commerce type business potentially may have a substantial amount of trade secret, patented or copyrighted materials, and those things all need to be protected as well. So if you've got anything that's unusual, an unusual product, an unusual development process, or potentially something that's copyrighted or trademarked, those are kinds of things that should be protected with employment agreements as well.
And folks, you've heard me say that the internet, the e-commerce, the new technology that we have right now, is both exciting and frightening. One of the things that makes it frightening is that in the old days, Sarah, if I had one of your trade secrets as your employee, I might have all the knowledge, but I didn't have $6 million to create what you created.
That's right.
To go out and compete with you.
But the frontier is cheap these days.
It's exactly right. It's cheap to cross the frontier today. I mean, you can the virtual marketplace, at some levels, it's expensive beyond comprehension. But at some levels, it's not expensive at all, and so it's easier in a lot of ways in some areas for people to compete with you. But let's go back for a minute and let's talk about what an employee agreement, you call them employee agreements. Mm-hmm. Some people call them employment agreements. So
right.
Tell us what essentially what you get for that.
Well, there's different levels of employment agreements. The simplest level is just an agreement that where somebody says, I'm going to work for you, and you know, here's your position, and here's your salary, and you know, be nice to me, and I'll be nice to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's an employment agreement that, frankly, doesn't need to exist. If that's all you're going to say is, you know, here's your benefits, and here's what your salary is going to be, and maybe there's some commission involved. Those sorts of things can be written into a letter, and left alone. It
just
doesn't bind everybody. It just basically says, here's my offer, and I'm done.
An offer of employment, and you say, you know, show up to work at 8 o'clock, we're off at 5,
right.
You get off on Christmas, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly. Those sorts of things are informational rather than contractual. When you start to actually put an employment contract together, you're binding yourself as the employer as well as the employee. So we don't want to take that step unless we have to. That's why we distinguish between employees that need them and employees that don't need
right.
them. So if that's all you've got to say, then put it in a letter and be done with it, and don't promise anything further other than, hi, we have a job for you that we
right.
can fire you from if we want to.
All right.
The next level is something that I think a lot of businesses overlook, and that's the level of confidentiality. This is an agreement that adds in some things that, especially as we said, to some of these e-commerce, patented, copywritten businesses, unique products, unique methods, using specific sales type, you know, sales issues in a new way.
Strategies
and business plans and marketing plans. Some of those things are extremely valuable. Some of our businesses, the entire value of the business is our client list, and the confidentiality of that is extremely important.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are the types of things that you could put into a confidentiality agreement, whereby you would say, you, the employee, are going to make every effort to keep this confidential from our suppliers, from our competitors, and you're not going to give this information to anybody. And, you know, we have to play the game of you're not going to give it to them on paper, on any, you know, disc. You're not going to take your Rolodex out of the office. You try and think of all the different ways that somebody might do that and say, you know, and list a few of them. And specifically state some of the important confidential items in your business. You should be as specific as you can possibly can, and also be general. These are not agreements that I recommend you take from a computer form.
Mm-hmm.
I just saw one yesterday, and it was absolutely, I don't know what the point of the program was headed to, and I looked up and I said, you pulled this off of one of those, you know, be my own lawyer programs, didn't you? And he said, yeah.
So it's basically undefendable, probably.
Yeah, it is very undefendable, because each business is unique, and so each business really requires sitting down and saying, what is unique about this business? What needs to be confidential about this business?
Yeah. Stand by, Sarah. We're going to hang on to the rest of that thought. Folks, we'll come back. We're going to continue to talk about employee agreements. We'll get a little more detail in what they should look like and a little bit more. I've got a few more things to say about who you should have an employee agreement with. It's 29 after. I'm Jim Blessingame, the Small Business Advocate, 888-822-8255. Welcome back, heroes. It's 33 after. I'm glad you're here. 888-822-8255 is our phone number, 1-888-822-8255, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. It's the new one. It's the new website. Check it out. A lot of good stuff there. Let me know.
Hear me on the website.
Exactly. Yeah, there are 14 Sarah Calvert archives on the website. That's exactly right.
Can't get rid of me.
That's right. Yeah, she's
I'm permanent. You did say I was the resident.
She's the lawyer that keeps coming back. She just won't go away. That's right, like a bad penny, right?
That's right.
No, I'm teasing. Sarah, tell us how to contact you and your website, please.
If you want to call me, it's 800-526-5665. That'll get you right to my office in Northern Virginia. And if you want to find my website, it's www.calvert, C-A-L-V-E-R-T, and Associates, all spelled out, just to make it as difficult as possible, .com.
Okay, and by the way, folks, if you are listening on the Internet, and that means your telephone's tied up, or for whatever reason, you can't or don't want to call in, you can email me, and I check the email, and if you have a question while we're on the air with Sarah or any of our other guests, just give us an email and we'll try to get it on there for you. Okay, we're talking about employee agreements or employment agreements, as I think I'm used to calling them. And Sarah, we were talking about some of the different levels of employment agreements, and shouldn't there be a shorter one for people who, let's say that they're working as a customer service person, but maybe they're managing that department, and then maybe a little bit longer one for your salespeople, a little bit longer one for your executives, and that sort of thing?
Well, I actually think that the agreement itself should have a purpose, and so if you're question for a particular level of people is confidentiality, then I would use a confidentiality agreement for all those people. And then I would add different portions that we're about to talk about, like non-solicitation or non-compete.
Right.
So it's not so much that there would be a longer and longer one based upon the job. It would be which components you're going to add to it. And as
okay.
I said, there's initially that component of how you're going to be an employee, you're going to have a salary,
mm-hmm.
and those people are not, you know, then there's nothing, you know, they sit in the office and they work directly under me, and they don't have much client
okay,
contact.
That's
I'm
level,
not going to worry about those people.
That's level one, and that's
right.
not really even an agreement, but the next level would be
confidentiality. If there is anything in particular that you think is confidential about the way you do this.
Okay.
Some of these big customer service centers have incredibly complicated programs that they've developed over the years, that if somebody else took those away and used them for something else, it would be a great loss to the business.
Well, you know, you don't even have to be high tech. I mean, I've had advertising strategies that I had developed
plan.
That I didn't want everybody else to know that what I was doing and what my method was.
Well, you know, and I was going to say, when it comes to the confidentiality part of these agreements, make sure that you are a good confidential employer. And most states have a trade secrets law that somewhat protects you, but there's a flip side to this. As an employer, you must keep these items confidential. This means that you don't leave a client list laying around everywhere unless
mm-hmm.
they're stamped confidential, put in a file drawer, and locked up. You don't leave your client information and financial information on a computer without a passcode.
Mm-hmm.
You must take some basic steps to protect confidential information.
Set the example.
Yes, set the example and stamp things confidential and let people know when things are confidential so that it's real clear what you're invoking. You know, this is a confidential item. Oh, yeah, I have an agreement that says I'm going to keep these confidential. I'm not taking my client lists home and calling up somebody and saying, you want to buy this?
Well, and see, confidentiality, a lot of times people think, they think of these agreements as protecting you after the employee leaves you, but this, a lot of it's while they're
with you. While they're there.
Because, I mean,
they cause the most damage.
And it doesn't even mean that it's not even about when they're trying to, give something away intentionally. It also means, and you need to tell your employees this, you don't talk about this with your friends.
That's right. You don't hang at the bar where everyone in your industry hangs out and start chatting about your business.
Have you ever had that to happen? I've had people tell me things, and I say, wait a minute, I shouldn't know that.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
You know, you shouldn't be telling me things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And there's so much that we have worked so hard. You know, it's those things that are confidential that are probably the most valuable to
right.
us.
All right, the next piece of the puzzle, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
would be non-compete.
Well, no, it would be non-solicitation.
Non-solicitation.
Just shy of a non-compete. A non-solicitation agreement sounds like something having to do with prostitution, but it's not. A non-solicitation agreement is an agreement that says, you are out with my client, you know, maybe you're working on their site, maybe you're a salesperson, maybe you're the customer service person that does everything with that person. You are able to talk to my client. You are not able to go to that client and work for that client, or take any information, or go from there to get to the level of interacting with that person.
Okay.
You are not going there.
I'm a little bit confused. Are you saying that I can't, you're not talking about if I'm an employee, I can't take another job from them, or
I can't go work for them,
I can't
interact with them in any financial transactions, for example, they can't,
outside of what
outside,
they're there for
exactly.
me.
Exactly. They can't hire me as an independent contractor because
right.
I have knowledge of what goes on with you.
What about if I'm the employee and I've got a little side business going on?
Well, first of all, I think that's you're asking for trouble with employees with side businesses.
Well, I mean, the employer doesn't know that.
Well, that's right, but it should be against your agreement.
Well, and it's also against the law in some states, isn't it?
Sure, in some states, yes.
Yeah, but we'll talk about that when we come back, folks, and the rest of the components that go into an employee agreement. When we come back after these messages, it's 39 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingale, the Small Business Advocate, 888-822-8255. We're back, 44 after. Thank you for joining us. 888-822-8255 is our phone number, and our website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. We're talking about employee agreements with Sarah Calvert, the resident small business attorney of the Small Business Advocate Show. And Sarah, you were talking about non-solicitation.
Yep.
That's what we were talking about. And one of the things I was saying was that it's my understanding that in many states, if not most states, it's against the law for you to work for one company and be basically representing yourself on their time to the customers.
Yes, and that's usually anti-moonlighting provisions,
yes,
and things like that. Different states have different laws on that, so that's one of those, you know, have to go check with your local attorney on it.
Right.
But, and that's why the non-solicit is a really good agreement.
I agree
because
with you.
Because it is not to the level of a non-compete, which are routinely thrown out in some states, you know, are routinely dismissed.
Non-solicitation is
real specific.
It's basically intuitive, but it has to be put in, it needs to be put in the contract.
It just needs to be said, you're not going to take. And the other half of this is you going to your major clients and saying in your agreements with your clients that you're not going to hire my employees.
Right.
This way, if something goes wrong and you all of a sudden find your best manager working for the competition,
mm-hmm,
or working for a client of yours,
right,
and taking away that client, you know, the contract that you may have had,
mm-hmm,
this is an excellent way to sue not only the employee for breaking their agreement, but the client for breaking their agreement as well.
And what would that be called?
It would be a simply a provision in an agreement in which you provided services where you said that you will not hire any of my employees without my permission.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got it kind of coming and going, and the courts are much more likely when you've taken the time and the effort to tie up both the client and the employee and say, you know, you guys worked for me, basically. This is my contract, and you can't take it.
Well, and see, as the marketplace, as companies in the marketplace become more integrated, more vertically integrated,
mm-hmm,
they start, you know, whereas last year they needed you as a vendor,
mm-hmm,
today they've started to providing these products and services within their own company.
Right.
But they need someone with the expertise of your employee.
That's right. You'll see this. Businesses expand and contract by independent contractors,
yep,
outside service providers, and then they'll bring it in if it's cheaper, and then they'll spin it back off if it gets expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where we see this, I always call it an incestuous relationship in and among businesses.
This non-solicitation or non-proselyting maybe would be the right word to use.
That's another word, yes.
For the employee. For the customer to have the agreement with your customer,
mm-hmm,
that needs to be done early on,
yes,
in the agreement,
yes,
so that you don't need to go over there with this the only thing in your hand.
Absolutely, and it's something that should be a standard part of your agreements. If you're going to provide services, especially if you're going to provide on-site people or regular customer service people to a client, it just needs to be a regular part of those agreements with those clients. You will not poach my clients.
But
it's simple. It's non-controversial.
But it's
because
also
because if they intend, you know, because if they balk at it, then they intend to hire your people.
Well, it can become a little bit controversial if you've got a customer that's doing $1 million worth of business with you, and they want to hire one of your employees. You know, you say, okay, let me see. Do I win the battle or lose the war?
Well, that's right. That's why you say with it without my permission.
Yeah.
And then you have the choice. Well, that's fine. You may take them, but you've got to sign a new contract for another 5 years.
Well, yeah. Or you say, okay, fine. But you know, you've got to get. You know, I'll let this happen. But I need 3 months to find and hire and train another person or whatever.
Well, compensate me like I'm a temp service almost.
Oh, have you thought?
Oh, sure.
I hadn't thought about that.
You take my employee, you pay me 1 year's salary.
The training that I hadn't thought about that.
Oh, sure. Pay me.
Think about that, folks. Yeah. Well, and, you know, and so somebody's out there saying right now, Sarah, well, what about the employee? You know, they're not indentured servants. They're not slaves. They can do whatever they want.
Well, they're choosing to go to the store, assuming they want to go.
They can go. The employee can do whatever they want to. But this is a contractual relationship between the customer and the vendor.
It's kind of like a ball player. You know, the ball player has some say over it, but it's a trade between you and and your client. But but then there's compensation involved. You know, a valuable employee these days, as we've talked about over and over again, is a valuable employee.
No question.
And these agreements are enforceable in most states within the union.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something that you can get away with, that you can enforce, and it's not something you should neglect, because this is the simplest way to protect your employees from being poached.
How specific is the language in the non-solicitation?
It doesn't have to be as specific as the non-compete, which makes it a little nicer to write.
Right.
It just simply says that if you have contact with a client, and if you are, you know, involved with a client,
mm-hmm.
or if you have knowledge of a client based upon what I've told you, you will not go work for that client. You will not provide independent contractor services. You won't open a company or go through a third party that will deal with that client.
Right.
So it stops some of those outside non-compete issues, but it's done through the non-solicitation.
And there's no time frame or no geography involved like there is when they're non-compete.
That's right. I usually still put a time frame on there just to make it reasonable. We don't want to make it unreasonable.
Well, the time frame needs to be...
It can be a 3 or 5 year agreement.
You mean after they leave you? Or
yeah, after they leave. I'm sorry, after they leave. While they're
they
with
leave.
You, it goes on all the time. But
right, while they're with you, it's enforced, but there's... And you can get away with a non-solicitation for 3 to 5 years?
Well, you can if all the contact they've ever had with this client is through you.
That's a long time. I'm surprised that you'd be able to enforce that.
We have in Virginia now. Virginia is a very capitalistic state, but they do enforce their non-solicits.
Hmm.
Non-competes are a lot harder, but non-solicits, it depends. Again, it's one of those, you know, check your local rules.
We're going to talk about non-competes when we come back as we wrap up the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Normal stuff on the front and the back. And I'll put the words all together. Sarah Calvert is our guest this hour. Coming up in the next hour, Tim Berry and Paul Berry, father and son, the only father and son guests I've ever had on the show, are going to be back with us to talk to us about some more about how to create, manage, and grow a business on the web, how to add an e-commerce capability to your traditional business, or how to start a brand new one from scratch and just operate it there on in the virtual marketplace. And that's all coming up today and in the next hour. Sarah and I are finishing up our discussion on employment agreements. The last thing is non-compete clauses.
You know, non-competes are so sadly misunderstood. In the right circumstances and written very carefully by an attorney who's very up to date with your state laws, these are enforceable agreements, especially in a situation where you've taken somebody and trained them
mm-hmm.
from the bottom up, so to speak. You know, somebody who didn't know anything about locksmithing, but you trained them in this business, or somebody that didn't know anything about, you know, this particular style of government contracting or whatever. If you have trained this person and they didn't know the information before they came to you, you can put a non-compete in place that says, you will not open a competing business with mine, and you will not go and work through someone else who competes against me.
And the training is especially important for employees who are typically not considered management.
Right. These are for people that you have taken from, that you plan to take, and of course you're going to write this from the very beginning, that you plan to take from a training entry-level position on up through the ranks, somebody that has that kind of potential.
Because
and you do it before you know that, because you of course want to have it in place for the day they come on board.
That's right.
Or you can do it later on when they're promoted, but it's not as enforceable.
Well, it looks a little funnier.
Yes, that's
when
correct.
You do it that way. But the thing is that typically we think of non-competes for management, people who have confidential information, strategic information, but it actually filters down in the organization. People, as you say,
it's hard to put them in place at that high level, because those people already have knowledge, and they can't erase the knowledge they come to the business with.
But this can be a really simple document, can't it?
Yes, it can be a very simple document, a few paragraphs. We call it a covenant in our state,
mm-hmm.
and we can put it in about 4 paragraphs where we depending on the business. And again, this is really particular to your business.
It's got to have 2 critical components.
Right. It's got to have a defined geographic area. Well, where is that geographic area? Well, you can say the United States, but you sure as heck better be marketing actively everywhere in the United States.
And
you can only protect where it is. The other thing is that it has to be for a specific period of time, usually 1, 2, on the outside 3 years. And that is another particular thing. The third particular thing, it's got to very clearly define what is competing with you.
Mm-hmm.
If I own a locksmithing service, if somebody opens up a lock production facility, is that in competition with me? Probably not.
And the fundamental behind all of those three things that Sarah's talking about is just got to be reasonable.
Yes, it's got to be reasonable, and it's got to be specific and limited. You can't if you're doing government contracting on engineering some software, you can't stop somebody from working in the software industry.
And the more reasonable and the more you can define it, and the better you will be able to defend it,
mm-hmm.
Right?
That's absolutely correct.
Sarah, that's got to be the last word.
Okay.
You did great as always. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sarah Calvert, ladies and gentlemen, she is the president, the principal, I should say, at Calvert & Associates, a law firm in Fairfax, Virginia. We've got to wrap it up for this hour. Before I go, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.